Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Okay, we fooled you. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I'm blessed to be next to Alice Benton, Dr. Alice Benton.
Hi.
And Milan Yurkovich, the How We Love Fame guy.
Wow, this is the fearsome threesome.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Here we go. It's August. How did that happen? I don't get it. But it's also the month that a movie comes out that I want everybody to see. It's called Overcomer, and it comes out August 23rd. And you will be happy if you go see it. It is, it's a movie that is based on a true story. It's got a real interesting twist in the story. It's a mixture of faith and humor and a lot of heart. And it will leave you with hope, and it'll inspire you. And it'll cause you to ask the question, what do you allow to define you? That's a good question, and we all should consider that.
Or what do you allow to limit you?
There you go.
In this movie, it's about overcoming limitations that seem obvious and restrictive.
And God actually prescribes for us that we seek out stories like this to fill our hearts, souls, and minds, because when we're inundated with bad news and all the awful things that are happening, and even the fictional awful shows that we watch or books that we read, we need this kind of inspiration and pure story to fill us back up again.
I was blessed to have seen a preview, and I'm guaranteeing you will like this movie. The Kendrick brothers are the producers of this. And actually, one of the brothers, Alex, is in the movie. He's one of the main roles in the movie. But they did movies Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Courageous, and then War Room. So they have a history of producing really good movies, and I just want to encourage you with that. The other thing I want to encourage you with is Club New Life. How about joining Club New Life? $30 a month. It's a monthly giving program. And if you would call and ask us about it, one of the things you're going to learn is your thank you gift is an 8-book set, and it is a great 8 books. Mm-hmm. We're calling it best of the best. It includes these 8 books by the New Life Radio hosts. Healing is a Choice, Steve Arterburn did that. Changes That Heal, Henry Cloud. Boundaries, John and Henry. Forgiving What You Never Forget, Dr. Dave Stoop. How We Love, Milan K. Yurkovich. Secrets Women Keep, Dr. Jill. Every Man's Battle, Steve and Fred Stoker. And then Intimate Deception, Dr. Sherry Keffer. I mean, those 8 books, it's $129 if you just go and buy them. But if you join up and make your $30 gift to join, we'll send you all 8 of those books.
Those books taught me more than graduate school taught me.
Wow.
And they drew me into a closer relationship with God than anything else ever had up to that point in my life.
Mm. So if you're enrolled in graduate school, you could drop out, join Club New Life, and learn more than you ever would have. Yeah, but I know what you're saying, Alice. Some of these books are just amazing. Milan, you talk about Changes That Heal, how it changed your life. So anyway, we also have, it's a great benefit, we have a video library if you join Club New Life. And there are some great videos on it, and I have something here that tells me what's being added this week. 12 Steps as a Path to Surrender, Parts 1, 2, and 3, all by Amanda Anderson. She has been a speaker at a Life Recovery Conference. So, and you guys have done scores of videos on the Club New Life Library, Milan and Alice have, along with our other host.
Yes.
So Club New Life, we need that to keep, the wind beneath our wings at New Life. I thank every one of you who is a current member of Club New Life, and just want to thank every one of you who will join. If we can get 5 or 6 people a day to join, it'll make a huge difference. So please be one of those. And when we come back, we're going to go to the phones. We've got a lot of people waiting to talk to us. We'll be right back.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and then you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. Let's go right to the phones and let's speak to Miss Scarlett in St. Augustine, Florida. First time listener. Hello, how are you? How can we help you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I am in the midst of a divorce. It's been a very manipulative and toxic marriage, and growing increasingly more so as we progress towards this divorce. And my husband, when he wrote down the reason for divorce, he said that I was incapacitated. So he went about proving that I was incapacitated. And this happened a few years ago, and now he's reassessing the entire situation again because it's not working. So now he has had me, I had to go to see 3 committee members. Now I did not know what I had to do. You know, I was told that the judge would frown upon it if I did not go through these committees. So I said, well, you know what, if he can't let me do it, he can't let me do it. I went to the first person who was a psychiatrist. I was evaluated by a man who's been doing this for a number of years, and he gave me he submitted a report to my attorney that I was not incapacitated, that I did not need a legal guardian, and this has just proven once again that he is doing whatever he can. He's abusing the legal system. He's abusing the doctors and the nurses. He told all my neighbors I'm crazy. He has done everything he can to destroy me because this is his 4th marriage. And he couldn't just say, I'm tired of her, because it wasn't going to work.
So what's your question for Mylon and Alice?
What do I need to do to get out of this situation and maintain my sanity at the same time? Because now he's saying he's not going to support me at all financially. He's been my sole support for 15 years. He won't pay my medical. He quit paying my grocery bills. I'm living in the family house. But he has basically abandoned me financially, so I am totally dependent on him. And at this point, my only sustenance is whatever my neighbors give me out of kindness or whatever my family can give me. I lost almost 60 pounds because of just the lack of groceries and lack of support. I had a bad accident recently. I called him to say he needed to pay the copay. He said he was not going to pay it.
Okay, Ms. Scarlett, let Alice and Mylon have a word or two here. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah.
Miss Scarlett, I'm getting pretty angry as I'm listening to you. I'm angry for you, and I'm angry about what your husband is doing to you. And I'm so sorry to say I've heard similar stories of just tragedy of you being dragged through the mud like this. So I'm very proud of what you're doing so far, which is following the legal advice that you have been getting to prove yourself innocent of these accusations. And I think you need more protection and really need a team built up around you if you haven't already. So having a fantastic lawyer to protect you and to continue to advise you. And then having, I would say you probably... Pardon me?
I don't have a fantastic lawyer. He's not returning my calls. He's abandoned me as well.
I hope you don't stop looking then, that you don't stop making the calls, whether it's to him or seeking somebody else out, because you will need that legal covering in this kind of situation with all the things that your husband is doing. But I think you also need professional support. We talk so much about going to counseling, and it may seem obvious, but you need to be heard with a person with whom you feel safe. And there may not be many people like that in your life right now because of everything your husband is poisoning. But if you are not in regular sessions with a professional counselor, I would highly recommend that too, as you said, to maintain your sobriety, maintain your sanity when you're just being, you're being maligned by your husband.
Yes, I am.
So
and now there is a woman, there are a team of counselors at my church that have been, they're not at your level of education, but they have been certified through a program. It's called the Hope Center. It's through my local church, and they do offer support, and they provide counseling sessions. So that is one avenue that I have not been to. I have been to other family counselors, but it was at my husband's insistence, and he had already poisoned and muddied the waters before I showed up.
Let's hear what Marlon has to say.
So, Scarlett, here's something that I think is really important to do, and this is a very hard thing to do. I am with Allison saying we have to, in saying that we have to do our very best to protect ourselves and get a support base. But we have to, number one, we also have to listen to what people are saying about us. We have to ask ourselves the question, is there any validity to their complaints or reactions? Why isn't my attorney calling me back? Why are people somehow reacting to me in such a strong way? And I have to say, is there anything that I can learn from this? I doubt that you're at the level your husband's trying to portray you, but you know, we all have room for growth. And I would simply say it's time to also look at any of the things you can look at yourself. Even, why did I marry a guy that's been married four times? You know, I'm his fourth wife. You know, why did I believe that somehow something was going to be different? Secondly, you really need
to... Secondly, he told me that he was a Christian now, and
Scarlett,
that he had made a change of heart, and now he was living for Christ.
Well, and that of course is not true until we see the proof of the pudding, which is called fruitfulness. It's not about intentions or statements, you know, it's about what does a person's life look like. Lastly, would be that you work on your independence, that you work on developing who is Scarlett, who is her, what are her strengths, what are her capacities, her interests, her passions. And that you learn to create a life of independence for yourself so that you are not dependent upon others for all the basic necessities of life, which is maybe I go back to school, maybe I go to some sort of specialized training, but as quickly as I can, I get a job and I start helping to provide for myself. And I think that independence is going to be a very important part just for even how you view yourself. I don't need him is where you want to end up.
Yeah.
And Miss Scarlett, this has to be pretty hard to hear because the bad guy seems so obvious in this situation. So how dare we ask you to consider, is there any truth in the accusations? And I want you to know how lovingly Mylan is sharing this with you, because he's just inviting you into your own growth process so that no matter what your husband does, you become a stronger person.
That's
Mylan's advice is very loving. I'm going to add just one other piece. I always advise this to folks who are going through financial struggles. I want you to think about if you've been tithing 10% of the nothing that you have right now, but that you're giving something to God, because that is a show of trust in his provision, that your husband is not the provider God appointed for you. God is your provider. Trust him with a little bit, and he will return blessing to you.
Miss Scarlett, though, I think we're going to send you Take Your Life Back. I think that would be something of help. That's a very thorough book, and it really talks about learning to respond rather than react, and that will be helpful as well.
That is a great phrase that you just used. I know Steve uses that in his book, and it is a beautiful concept, how to respond rather than react.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing that.
Thank you for calling. Mm-hmm. Let's go and talk to Jeff. He's in Salt Lake City, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Jeff. How can we help you?
Hey. Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm kind of struggling a little bit. That's why I'm making this call.
Okay.
I called you guys before about my wife accusing me of looking at women and so forth. And we've been together for almost 4 years. And every time I go to see my kids in Salt Lake, she goes.
We lost you. Okay, I think we might need to.
Well, let's just speak to that for a second, because he gave enough to the call screener that he says, you know, when he goes to see his own kids, his wife panics, and, you know, the separation that she feels. And so, Jeff, what we're hearing is the separation your wife feels when you go see your kids all of a sudden makes her feel very panicky. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so what is your question? So, that how do I help
well,
this?
So my
or?
Question, yeah, how do I?
Okay, so how do we, the question, Jeff, is how do we manage the anxiety that's linked with the behaviors of our spouses or close friends? And so what do we do with that? And so when we're married to someone that is really struggling, now this is a second marriage, evidently.
Mm-hmm.
He's been married 4 years, and he's going to see his own kids. And so I'm going to speak from my perspective as a recovered pleaser, and that is that once upon a time, and Henry talks about this in his book, Changes That Heal, that learning to separate from other people is very difficult for many people. On the other side of learning to separate from people is the concept of boundaries. But if I can't separate from you as to what you think of me or your approval of me or your comfort of me or your endorsement of me or that if you get out of my sight, I get scared, then I can't let you go. And so his wife is feeling a lot of anxiety when he separates from her. And instead of getting mad at her or telling her, you know, to stop it, what we need to do is we really need to address that core issue that she's struggling allowing others to separate, or she's struggling to separate and allow somebody else to have an individuated or differentiated life that includes a part of the life that doesn't include her. And it's hard to go through and accept that. But that's one of the journeys I've been on in the last 32 years, and I had to learn to allow others to do and be something different.
That's something that can help draw that fear out of our spouse, that we can help them with it, is by asking about it.
Exactly.
We fall too quickly, most of us, into we minimize what the other person is feeling, we negate it entirely, or we try to comfort them too quickly. It's not a big deal. I'm just going to go see my kids. I'm not looking at anybody, and I'm faithful to you. So stop nagging me about this. That's such a common response. It's just human. But to say instead, I hear that you're afraid. Would you please tell me about it? What do you think and feel when I go and visit my kids? Mm-hmm. That draws out her heart, and it will lower her anxiety level, and it will help her to reveal what she's worried about. And Mylan, just in the last call, you asked our previous caller to look at, is there any truth to the fear and the accusation? So, Jeff, I want you to prayerfully bring to God, how am I doing with my eyes? How am I doing when an attractive woman walks by? What am I doing with that? And how much am I honoring my wife and her fear and her concerns and the fidelity within our marriage?
Okay.
And to that point, Alice and Larry, I guarantee you that her fears of separation started long ago, way before she ever met Jeff.
Yeah.
As it was in my case, I can think back to when I was 10 years old and situations as a child where there was fear of separation because of anxiety in my home, because of anger in my home, and because of phobic tendencies in my home. I was afraid, and so I had to keep people close. I had to work through those past historical places of pain.
Yeah.
And as Sherry Denham says, and now Keffer, I've known her for so many years, that Dr. Keffer says, you know, if it's hysterical, it's historical. So I had to, because it was such a profound, big feeling inside of me, I had to go back and look at the history that created that. And that's what his wife needs to do. And that's why I love what you just said, Alice. If you'll just ask her and say, you're afraid of separation, and tell me about it. It's such a loving thing to do.
Okay. What can we send Jeff?
Well, changes that heal.
Okay.
Because the second major section of the book is learning to separate from others.
All right. Jeff, it's coming your way. Earlier at the beginning of the program, I encouraged folks to talk about joining Club New Life. We had a man write us recently, and he said he joined because something Steve said. He said, not all of us have the opportunity to help like New Life does, but our support might be part of saving someone's life, might help someone in a dire place, save a marriage, etc. Our marriage is coming up on 50 years in July. We have a good place compared to many who call in, but this is a way for us to share how to serve the Lord in the local world. For example, we serve in a marriage ministry, but how many will we reach? On the other hand, all of us who support it like this, how many will you all reach through the extensive audience and platform of New Life? So, just want to encourage you, call us up and ask about Club New Life, 800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back to the phones right after this.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. And thanks for listening to New Life Live. Thank you, all of you who are supporting New Life Live. We're going to go to the calls, and we're going to talk to Jenna. Jenna is on line 6 from Reading, Pennsylvania, listens out of Boyertown, WBYN. Hi, Jenna. How can we help you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just calling because my dad had an affair, and I'm pretty sure he's unwilling to tell my siblings. So I guess my question is, should I tell them?
How old are your siblings?
They're all adults, ranging from 32 to 46.
How'd you learn about the affair?
I found out by accident. My mom happened to be opening. She found a letter she wasn't supposed to find, and I happened to kind of walk in when she found it.
So did she find out at the same time?
I don't think I would
know. Did she find out the same time you did, Jenna?
Not much before, yeah.
And have either of your parents talked with you about the fact that you know?
Yes, yeah. I did talk
to my dad, and I kind of asked him to do some different things, and he hasn't done anything that I asked him to do, and one of them was to tell my siblings, so I doubt he's going to do that, and I'm kind of struggling being the only one knowing,
and I
don't want to tell them for the wrong reasons, so I don't know what
is
the right thing.
Is his affair ongoing?
I believe it's over.
And is he still with your mother? Have they reconciled?
They say they have reconciled. They haven't told anyone outside of themselves or gotten counseling, which is some of the things I recommended, but they say they've reconciled on their own terms, I guess.
Jenna, I think it's really brave that you're asking this question. I have very strong feelings about it and your situation. My family went through something similar, and so I respect what you've done so far, that you asked your father to reveal it to the siblings, but I understand you don't believe he has and probably don't think that he will. And I do think your siblings have a right to know for a couple of different reasons. When one family member allows this spiritually into the family, it has consequences for the next generation, whether or not they know about it. It opens up a spiritual door and it leaves the next generation vulnerable. It's the idea of the sins of the father, the curses of the father are passed on from one generation to the next, unless we do something about it, and God can clear all that out, but we need to act. So because you already brought it to your father's attention, I would recommend going back to your parents to say, I believe my siblings need to know for their own safety, for their own sake. And so if you two have decided you're not going to tell them, then I will. But I want to give you another opportunity for you to tell them, because I think it will be better for the whole family if it comes from you. But if you don't, then right. I'm going to take it upon myself out of protection for my siblings and for our family. And I'm doing this, parents, out of love for you and because I hope that you will get the help to safeguard our family from the consequences of this. You probably know, Jenna, that infidelity from one generation, it makes the next generation more vulnerable, not only spiritually, but either to become victims of infidelity or perpetrators of infidelity. And that can happen without even knowing that our parents had gone through it first. It's probably generational.
I wish Alice believed
right.
that. I think
and
she talked about
that. That was something I had mentioned to him. I said, you know, if nothing else, you know, I know for my marriage, it has made me more aware of how easily it can happen, because
yes,
I was really surprised that, you know, he's a retired pastor. Like, I was shocked that this happened. So I said, it makes me more aware and more ready to safeguard my own marriage. And so I think it'll do the same thing for my siblings.
Yes.
Well, the other thing, Jenna, is that as Alice so adequately and eloquently stated, it's an entree for evil into the family system. There's also the cost that this affair was to the family system. He was not present. Somehow he was unavailable. At some level, he abdicated his responsibility to be the good father or to be the connected father, and he was off busy doing something else or thinking about something else. Anytime we enter into sin or addictions, they take over our heart and mind, and so we fail to see Jenna. We fail to see the other siblings. We fail to see our wife. And so it would explain to perhaps your siblings, where'd Dad go? Where's he been for this period of time? Why did he disconnect from us? Why doesn't he ever take me out to lunch like he used to or talk to me? And so I think there's the important aspect of explaining what this affair did to impact the family in a negative way.
Right.
Jenna, you're taking on a warrior role for your mm-hmm. family in your willingness to do this, because there will be a cost to you, but you will bring blessings and grace into the entire family, despite the anger that might come at you for having doing this. You're rocking the boat, and you are doing it for the best reasons.
And really, Jenna, your mom is complicit in keeping the secret, mm-hmm. you see, because she should be the one to say to the kids, I want you to know what happened to me. This shouldn't have to be on Jenna's shoulders. But if mom is not willing to do so, then, you know, I would agree with you. I think it's important because they're all adults. They're all really grown-up people. They need to know what the family system was. Kay and I say to people all the time in our workshops and as we travel and speak, by the time a kid's 18 years old, they need to know what the family secrets are.
There you go.
It's horrible when a person walks into my office and says, I'm 50 years old and I just found out that this person is not my dad or my mother. I hate those situations, and it's just so unfair, and it hurts them so terribly so.
Jenna, I want to send you a devotional. It's Take Your Life Back Day by Day, and I think that just might help your family in the long run. You can choose who to give it to.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Just wanted to mention that when you make a gift to New Life Live this month, we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back Day by Day. It's a 365-day devotional. Steve Arterburn and Dave Stoop wrote it, and it is really, really a good devotional. And so, without spending more time and taking time from our calls, that's all I'm going to say.
No, but can I quick add?
All right.
Because these devotionals are wonderful, especially if you struggle to touch the Word on a daily basis, or if it's hard for you to invite your spouse into doing it. And yet, if you can, it safeguards and protects your marriage. So I love these devotionals that Steve has written.
Special.
My husband and I use them.
All right. There's a good endorsement. Let's go to line 3, Dawn, Philadelphia. WFIL, she listens on. Hello, Don. How can we help you? Hello, Don. I guess we can come back to Don. Let's move on. Let's go to Elizabeth on line 5. Elizabeth is in Monroe, Connecticut. This is a Sirius XM. Hello. How can we help you, Elizabeth?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a question about, I think that my feelings have shut down because I don't feel anything anymore, and I don't think it's a good thing because I was always a very feeling and compassionate person, and I'm not anymore. I don't know how to put it.
Elizabeth, can you identify anything in your life that changed after which point you stopped feeling very much?
Well, there's been a lot that has gone on over the past few years. I mean, a lot of deaths in my family. My kidney shut down. I'm on dialysis. There's been a lot of not physical abuse, but emotional abuse and mental abuse in my marriage. Stuff like that. And I think that that contributed to it. But, I mean, even though it feels good not to feel anything, I'm afraid that something bad is going to happen because I don't feel anything. I don't know. I don't know how to put it. It's not coming out the right way. So
something, Elizabeth, made you start to be dead in your emotions and took the vitality away from you. You don't feel like you're alive emotionally anymore, and that scares you and bothers you.
Yeah.
I think I love your point that you're making. It's not easy. But I do think that it's an accurate statement, and I think you've had a lot of trauma in your life. And trauma takes away our vitality. Trauma supersedes life.
Okay.
It kills us. It shuts us down. Mm-hmm. It causes us to shut down just about everything. What we think, what we feel, our love.
Does that mean that something bad is going to happen if I don't fix it? Or...
No, it does not. It does not mean that something bad will happen, but that's something separate because, see, you had a lot of bad things happen to you, and when we've been traumatized, we assume more bad things are going to happen to us. So let's talk about two different things. One is that, yes, with all of this pain, you have shut down your feelings and emotions. And evidently, your body is also shutting down, too, with renal failure and other things that are going on inside. So, yes, and I just want to tell you, yes, that would be alarming to feel like I am shutting down and turning off. And it's not healthy to be that place, but it doesn't mean something bad is going to happen in the future. But it's not a great place to be.
It actually feels comfortable, but it's not me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There was a song that was recorded many, many years ago by Pink Floyd. It was called Comfortably Numb. And so, you know, when we're numb and we don't feel, life doesn't hurt anymore. Alice?
Well, Elizabeth, has there ever been a period of substance use or any kind of addictive or compulsive behavior for you?
I've had OCD, and I also have still been struggling with giving up the cigarettes.
Okay.
So I still do smoke, but I don't drink or do drugs or anything like that.
Okay. And
even though the cigarettes is a drug, I know.
And what's your question for us?
I don't know how to fix myself. I don't know how to fix.
You want to feel
that I don't feel.
And do you want to fix that? Because I hear it's a risk to feel.
Yeah, it's a risk to feel, but I don't want anything bad to happen to me because I don't feel anything.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to make something bad happen to me.
Okay. I want to redirect and reframe this a little bit because I agree that you need assistance in starting to feel again, and there is a process that we'll describe here briefly for you. But it's not to protect you from bad things happening again, but rather to bring you into the full life that God wants you to live. Because when we don't feel the bad, we don't feel the good so well anymore either. And that numbing is safe, but it really drains the life that God wants you to live. So I imagine that the process forward will involve telling your story to a safe person who, by questioning, loving, and supporting you, can draw out the tales of your life that have led to you preferring numbness to feeling. Part of the reason God designed the emotions in us is to enjoy life, the pleasures that he's put in the world for us, but also as a warning system. Our anxiety, our fear, our anger, it warns us about internal processes. My anger tells me that probably something in my life needs protection. My fear tells me that there might be danger and I need support from people around me. So when I don't feel any of that, I don't have the capacity to respond to life as God has built me to do. So I want to invite you into the counseling process so that you can enjoy the fullness that God has for you, the plans he has to prosper you.
Have you sought a counselor before?
I was in counseling, but she wasn't, I guess she didn't take my insurance anymore. And then I had to stop, and then I tried to go to a different counseling place, a Christian counseling place, but I couldn't afford the copay. It was $35 a week, and I didn't have it.
You know, I would go to a grief recovery group where usually churches and various places in the county offer grief recovery. And grief recovery is allowing us to be with another group of people who have also suffered pain and have suffered losses. And everybody together begins to acknowledge more fully those losses, and there is community, there's a camaraderie between the people, there's an empathy, and then feelings begin to emerge. And I think that could be a very good idea for you, Elizabeth, and it shouldn't cost any money to be in a grief recovery group. They're often sponsored by hospitals. They're often sponsored by various county organizations and group, and benevolent groups will have recovery.
But I think you may need to pair it with boundary work at the same time. And the book Boundaries in Marriage comes to mind. Because if your husband is ongoing abusive, verbally and emotionally abusive, it wouldn't be safe to start to feel. And so boundaries work will help you to protect your heart, to limit your exposure to his abusive, toxic behavior so that the environment becomes safe enough.
Do I have time to ask you a quick question?
You've got about a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Okay, like he went to all my classes with me to do my dialysis at home, and he knows that I'm supposed to wear a mask, and he knows that I can't have pets in my room. He knows that my door has to stay shut, and I have to have a sterile environment. What he does is he lays all over the rug and lets the cat lay on top of him with no shirt on. Then he climbs in bed, and I've asked him a million times to stop doing it. He'll go for over 2 months without showering, and his job is a filthy job.
So what's your question?
My sheets are all black and whatnot. And then he tells me that if I don't sleep with him, he's going to take my medication away from me and food away from me.
So what's your question, Elizabeth?
So,
need a question real quick.
I don't know if that's a form of abuse. I don't know.
Yes.
I think it is, but I don't know.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Especially with your medical condition.
Right.
It sounds like he's actively ignoring your request, but also endangering your health by doing it.
Yeah. And then he'll put demands on me sexually, and then he wonders why I don't want to sleep with him.
Okay. Well, I hope you found some help, but yes, that is abuse. And
we're going to have a couple of comments right after the commercial,
go to the break.
Yeah, go to the break, and we're going to put you on hold, but
listen in.
There's a couple more things we need to listen in, even though we won't be with you directly. Just listen in, because we have some things other people need to hear, too.
Okay. Be right back. Hold the line.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today. Living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and Mylon had a couple of thoughts for Elizabeth. Then we're going to go talk to Don. So, Don, keep holding here.
Well, I think it's very clear from our call with Elizabeth that there are many people, including Elizabeth, who are in abusive situations where they are really under the control of another person who is functioning at levels that are mean, evil, cruel, demanding, not safe. And what does a person do when they're in a situation like that? The first thing they have to do is get help. The first thing they have to do is call help, even if it's to call the police and to create a report that somebody can walk into the house with a shiny badge on their shirt and we can make a report, because we live in a society right now that is very much an advocacy society, a world where people are hurt, abused, elder abuse, child abuse. There are agencies all through the county that want to help people like this. And so the very first thing I would do if I was Elizabeth is I would call 911, and I would get some sheriff deputies out there to do a report and file a report and show them what's going on and what the living environment looks like. And you know, if he's mm-hmm. withholding food from her, if he's withholding provision from her, she has to be protected.
Alice, you had one more thought.
Yes. Shelters are great resources, whether or not you have to go to them and stay there, but that mm-hmm. is also an option.
Right.
But shelters have resources, phone numbers, support to help women see what's going on and then find the path out of it. They're really good at developing safety plans if necessary. And we need to point out that coerced sex within a marriage is a hidden form of abuse.
Oh, totally.
We think, well, it's my obligation, so I have to. But if a person is being threatened in order to have sex, that is not a safe environment.
No, that's horrible.
Elizabeth, I hope that has been helpful to you. Book come in mind, Take Your Life Back?
Yeah.
Okay, sending you that book. Let's talk to Don. Don's in Philadelphia and WFIL. Hi, Don, how can we help you?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I guess to get to the question, I'm calling because I want to know how to heal better spiritually, physically, mentally from betrayal that happened in marriage.
Okay. So how to heal from betrayal in marriage? Are you talking, evidently, your husband had a time or times where he was unfaithful to you?
A time, yeah. It was a very lengthy affair, and the things that came out of it afterwards were really, really ugly and placed me in such a broken place, even spiritually, that I'm even ashamed to say out loud my current relationship with God because of this. And after we had counseling, you know, with our pastor, and it was geared toward us staying together, which we did, but the brokenness for me is so bad.
And you're still married, right?
I am.
Oh, Dawn, I can't.
But I don't want to be.
Mm.
Dawn, we can hear how painful this still is. We can hear it so evident in your voice. After the counseling with the pastor, how well has your husband done in pursuing his healing and in pursuing reconciliation with you?
Perfectly. He actually, well, in the beginning, at first, when we were counseling, it was still going on, and that's where the real ugliness came in. But he gave his life to the Lord, and he has been walking wonderfully
since then.
What kind of structured healing has he done? In addition to seeking the Lord, which is essential, what else?
Mm-hmm. He followed the rules, so to speak. He cut off all contact completely. He stopped associating with people that he used to, but outside of counseling with our pastor, we didn't have any other counseling, and I am just left feeling like, okay, everything's okay now. Everyone is okay, but what about me?
Sure. Go ahead, Dallas.
Everything is not okay.
That's right.
Your husband has done a lot, but it scares me that you say he's done this all perfectly, because I do not think he's done the necessary work to bring healing to your heart and to the pain that he caused you and the after effects of what he did. Of course, seeking the Lord is essential, but God has also shown us more that needs to be done in order to help heal the hurt that you're wallowing in today. And New Life, this is New Life's best work that we do, which is giving men that ongoing path they need to follow. Being in a Sex Addicts Anonymous group, even if it was one affair, but being in a group with other men who will help bring him along, motivate him, keep him accountable, and the structure that we can help give to your husband of what he can do to become worthy of your trust, proving to you the changes that he's made in his character.
Outside of him, I just want to heal. I am not healed by any, not at all, and I don't know how to do it.
Well, there's a book that we're going to send you called Intimate Deception. There is a workshop called Restore, and we're going to do that again in November. And you need to be at that workshop because it's specifically designed for someone like you whose heart is broken by betrayal, and you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, you don't know how to get your heart back.
And in Restore, we get you together with other women who know exactly what this is like because they're going through it too. And even after the weekend, there are ongoing phone call groups that I get to lead a few of them, where women arm in arm continue to walk through this process, and there is healing and freedom on the other side, and we know how to guide you there.
I want to talk about your husband a second. The structure Alice mentioned is really important, but I'm questioning whether or not he really has got to the bottom line of what drew him to act out to begin with. And that can, if he went to our Every Man's Battle workshop, that would be revealed to him in some way that he least expects, and it would change things. Mylon, you had something.
Don, you said you didn't want to be married, and you have a right not to be married.
That's right.
See? Sometimes we're stuck in situations that we feel we have to forgive, accommodate, and he's doing everything perfectly, and we feel very stuck. It's not by my choice that I'm there. I'd rather not be there. In Matthew 19, you have a biblical right to leave him because he had a lengthy affair. And that is frightening because he lied to you for an extensive period of time, and it's very hurtful.
Yeah.
There's one more thing.
Yeah.
In addition to everything Alice and Larry just said, if you were in my office, what I would require is that the two of you need to learn to have emotional and relational intelligence in your relationship so that you're able to communicate. He's able to hear your pain. It's not about following the rules and doing everything perfectly. It's about him learning to listen to your heart, you learning to listen to his heart, you learning, each of you, to ask intelligent questions of one another and tolerate what you hear. And learn to discover and develop a historical knowledge of each other that allows you to love one another on a very deep level. That is a step that is missing here, and I'm not hearing it from you. And I think that's – so I would say those are two choices there.
What do you think about Worthy of Her Trust for her to read?
She has it. She just
said she has intimate deception.
I'm sorry. That's a great idea.
And it's an important litmus test, even to share this call with her husband of how he reacts to the request and or requirement of, we need this additional healing. That should help you decide, Dawn, how whether to stay and how close to stay with your husband, how trustworthy he can be.
You know, we tell people all the time, listen to this show later.
Right.
Go to the website and listen to the show and let somebody hear it. That's a great idea.
Alice, I hope this helps a little bit. I hope you'll sign up for Restore. That'll make all the difference. Thank you for listening to New Life. We love you. Thank you for supporting us. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.